Welcome back, everybody. We continue to roll all the way till 6 o'clock right here on the Big Talker 1700. College basketball at the forefront this weekend. That means Kevin Lehman, former coach turned broadcaster, and a good one at that. He joins us on the show right now. Kevin, how are you, pal? Let's start first with Iowa and Purdue. Because of the emotion, Kevin, involved in this game with the anniversary, 25th anniversary of the Chris Street passing away, does this translate into Saturday for that team, or is Purdue just too good?
That is a great question, Jimmy, because the current players obviously were not born when Chris Street was playing. So how much does that filter down to them? It will be extremely emotional. Former teammates coming back, and that large fan base knows the era and the aura that Chris Street left behind. But Purdue, in my mind, Jimmy, is a bad matchup for Iowa because of the size in their backcourt with Vince Edwards, Dakota Mathias. They can shoot over the zone. They're three-point shooters. And then they got the inside game, too. And this is a Purdue team that we know is built on defense. I watched them that comeback and win at Michigan. This is a really good team. They're a little bit under the radar, the Boilermakers, because they don't have a lot of pizzazz, but a very good team. I think they're going to have a little too much for an Iowa team. And obviously, we're not even going to talk about Rutgers, the Iowa game at Rutgers. Woof. The Hawks got some issues. As Fran said, they did not solve them by a second half overtime win at Illinois. There's still some problems there, guys, and their defense is porous. They've got to shore up the defense.
Seems like a recurring theme that we have every week when we talk, Kevin, about this basketball team. But it's a packed house, going to be standing room only at Carver Hawkeye. Not because of the team on the floor, but a celebration of the life of Chris Street. Passed away 25 years ago today. Kevin, take us back to that fateful night back in 1993 for you.
Well, we just got out of practice at Northern Iowa, and we got the word. And I knew Chris a little bit because we recruited him as a freshman sophomore. It became very evident that he was going to be a Hawkeye and was not interested in Northern Iowa. But, you know, great family, great people, epitomized what a young man growing up in Iowa that wanted to play for the state school in Iowa was, and his effort. And I love that picture of Chris Street on the bench with Tom Davis, both big smiles on their faces, because he has such an infectious personality. And people like that are so invaluable to your team, not only for what they bring in the court, but their ability to bring in other players, similar type of personalities, because they become great recruiters for you and great ambassadors for the university. And even to this day, 25 years later, Chris Street is an outstanding ambassador for the University of Iowa.
He was one of us, people that grew up in this state like I did, Kevin, like you did. He was, you know, something that growing up in the 80s, I dreamed to be an Iowa basketball player. Unfortunately, Mother Nature didn't agree, and you don't see any 5'6 guys running around out there on the hardwood for the Hawkeyes throughout the time. But, you know, Kevin, it was a devastating time for this whole state and nationwide. And looking back upon it and just celebrating the life that he had, the player that he was, and the way that he played. And I'm going to guess Fran McCaffrey, last day or two, maybe popped in a tape or a highlight reel of Chris Street. The passion that he brought to the floor, the energy, the excitement. You mentioned the smile on the bench with Dr. Tom. It seemed like every moment he lived over those 20 years, life to its fullest.
Well, he had fun playing the game. And you look at this year's Iowa team and you wonder how much fun are they having, because that's the first thing you have to do when you play college basketball. You've got to put the fun back into it. And Chris Street epitomized that as a player and even off the court. And then you hear all these stories coming out this week and today about the lives that he touched. Even before he became a Hawkeye, I heard the story about him when he got beat in football, wanted to go to the Des Moines East locker room and congratulate their team on going on in the playoffs. Now, you don't see many kids of that maturity level in high school that would do things like that. And that's just a small example of the great things he did. And that's why, you know, like you said, Trent, he is one of us. If you grew up in Iowa, you can really identify, especially small-town Iowa, with Chris Street and what he brought to the University of Iowa, to the basketball program.
You made a great point just a moment ago where you talked about his leadership. And right now, it seems that the basketball team is a rudderless ship. When the players are on the court, they don't seem to have a leader or anyone to take charge, Kevin, when they are on the court themselves. Can that develop before the season ends? Can somebody step up? Or is that just not the case with the players that are on this court right now for Iowa?
Well, Jim, you've been around basketball a long time, and you know that it's leaders are more born than they are developed.
Yes.
And somebody on that team has to embrace that leadership role. And I was asked the other day, is Coach McCaffrey losing this team? And my response was, he's got high character guys. I don't think he's losing the team, but they are a team that's searching for leadership on the court and in the locker room. Because someone has to circle the wagons here. And the problem that they're so young, Jimmy, I mean, there's no sense of senior urgency. Dom Mule, the only senior, not playing much. When guys become seniors, someone steps up and says, hey, you know, this is my last time through. This is not going to happen. They don't have a person that's been through this type of thing before. So I think that's where you see them a little bit lost as far as leadership. But the simple things, get back and transition defense and stop people and communicate and handle the basketball in the backcourt, because those are the two simple things. You cannot turn over the backcourt and give what we call loose ball turnovers, because they become, or live ball turnovers, they become four-point swings, and that's been a victim of this team. So I think you got a great pointer, Jimmy. Someone has to step up, leadership role on the court, in the locker room, and off the court.
Kevin, let's move past Iowa. You'll be there, and excited to get your thoughts on the environment next week when we talk to you. Our conversations with Kevin Lehman, brought to you by Washer Systems of Iowa. Kevin, let's jump over to Iowa State. They had their own performance on Wednesday night against TCU where they didn't show a lot of energy. We've seen that with Iowa throughout the season, not so much with Iowa State. How concerning was that performance down in TCU, or is it just a simple fact they ran into a buzzsaw? The Horned Frogs kind of playing for their guy with Jalen Fisher out for the first time. What did you see from the Cyclones Wednesday night, and how they got Texas Tech coming to town?
Well, I thought a great response by TCU with Fisher's injury and the way they came out and played. And for me, I think this is just an aberration with this Iowa State team, because we've seen them compete. Now, the fact that they've lost those games in overtime, those start to work on you, especially when you go on the road. And a team with a short bench, I always say Iowa State has no margin of error this season because they don't have people coming off the bench. They don't have a lot of experience, but they do compete, and this is the first time that they didn't compete. I look for them to come back against this Tech team, and we'll see the Cyclones that we saw earlier. The problem they have, guys, I mean, they don't, I mean, the front line inexperienced, Nick Weiler-Babb is trying to lead them. Donovan Jackson is trying to lead them. Wigginton has been outstanding along with Lard. But again, not a lot of margin of error. If one of those guys plays poorly, they are going to struggle to win.
Kevin Lehman is our guest right here on the Big Talker 1700. Kevin, this is an Iowa State team that is going to be matched up now against Texas Tech. Maybe the surprise team of the Big 12. It is a home game now for the Cyclones. Does that make a difference? Because Texas Tech has really got some solid players.
Well, no question. And Texas Tech is the team that went into Lawrence and beat Kansas. So they know how to play on the road. And I had their game last year when they came into Iowa State and actually were ahead 16 and the Hilton Magic kicked in and they ended up losing that game. So that will not be lost on Chris Beard. And Chris Beard is a Bobby Knight disciple. They will run that true motion offense. They're led by a great guard in Keenan Evans. They got all preseason all-conference guy in Zach Gray. They're deep, and they're a team that values the basketball. They will not beat themselves by turning the ball over. They're going to play solid defense. So this is a game that Iowa State has to win. They have to take the game because Tech's not going to give it away.
over to the Missouri Valley Conference, and a huge one for Drake as they welcome in Missouri State. Kevin, as we were talking earlier this week, I told you I had mentioned before the UNI game, it was probably the biggest week of basketball for Drake Hoops on the men's side since 10 years ago, since that 2008 campaign and the ridiculous run that they went on. Didn't get it done against their in-state brethren in UNI, but now Missouri State, a chance to right the ship, and Drake's been playing very well at home.
Well, they really have, Trent. And, you go back to the 2008 year with Adam Emenecker, coming off the did not play much until Keno Davis took over, and Adam Emenecker goes on to become the MVP of the league. You know, I kind of see the parallel with Nick McGlynn, kind of a lost guy in the shuffle last year, and McGlynn played really well for him. But this is a Drake team that has the destiny in their own hands. They've got the two teams they're tied with, Missouri State coming in there this weekend, and then next week they've got Loyola coming in. The other two teams are 5-2, so they basically can write their own ticket here and create a lead in this valley if they can win those games, protect home court. And we know they shoot it better at home. What the Panthers did once they settled in is took away that three ball and really pressured the perimeter of Drake. So Missouri State's a very good defensive team. This will be a huge win if the Bulldogs can pull this off.
All right, so you just referenced the Panthers and UNI a little bit there. Have they got their swag back a little bit now that they've won a couple in a row?
You'd have to ask me after they come back from Carbondale. If they can win at Southern Illinois, I will say they're starting to get on the right track. But how about Ben Jackson? Takes his fifth-year senior, Bennett Cook, and brings him off the bench, and Cook responds against Drake. And Austin Fife gave an outstanding performance in their win over Valpo. And here's what else I saw, guys. The second half, Juwan McLeod, the starting point guard, did not get off the bench. They played Spencer Haldeman at point guard throughout the second half against Drake. So not only do we see a shift in the lineup at the center position, also at the point guard position. So is Ben Jameson going to continue with that lineup of Haldeman in the backcourt, along with Pickford, who's just been sensational? And a guy gets overlooked, guys. Isaiah Brown's become a really lockdown defender for the Panthers. But they've got to deal with Kavion Pippen, who manhandled Bennett Cook when they played at home here right around Christmas time. So it's going to be a big chore for the Panthers. But this is last year. This was the game they were 16 down at Southern Illinois and came back and won it. Kind of got them off the snide last year when they went on that run.
They did. Got a long, long hole that they got to dig themselves out of. They did it a year ago. We'll see if you and I can do it as well. Kevin Lehman, good to talk to you. Enjoy Carver Hawkeye tomorrow. And, well, we hope that that building is rocking like it once was tomorrow with Purdue coming to town.
Well, I tell you, some strange things have happened, not only when Purdue comes to town, but when you've got the memory of Chris Street that you're playing for. So don't be surprised if the Hawks get an upset over number three Purdue.
Let's hope it happens. Thanks for your time today, Kevin.
All right, guys, you have a great one.
Kevin Lehman checking in with us. Always good to talk with Kevin, and our conversations presented by Washer Systems of Iowa. Jimmy B., a big weekend of hoops, and it sets up perfectly. 11 o'clock Iowa Purdue, 1 o'clock Iowa State Texas Tech, 3 o'clock Missouri State against Drake. Sets up perfectly. The UNI game on Sunday, I have a feeling there's going to be a few eyeballs that'll be watching the NFL instead. But if you're out and about in your car, we got you covered. We'll have UNI basketball, and then after that one, the NFC Championship game will join it with the Vikings going up against the Eagles. Pretty good sports weekend we got set up, Jimmy B.
Yeah, it's much better than what we had in the past, so we'll definitely take this. I'm really interested, though, Trent, to see how Iowa and Iowa State both respond. Bad losses on the road, and now you're back home. The emotion at Carver-Hawkeye, how will that all play out? And what if Purdue gets out in front by 15 early? Is that going to suck all the life out of that crowd? And for Iowa State, this is a tough matchup for them because Texas Tech likes to grind. And Iowa State is more in that free-flowing transition-type game. We'll see if indeed Texas Tech can impose their will to slow down the Cyclones come tomorrow afternoon.
Point spreads are out for the game. I'll put you on the spot, Jimmy B. Iowa Purdue, give me a number. What do you think the spread is?
I'm going to say Purdue's favored by 5.
11 and a half, Jimmy B. 11. That's about as big of a swing and a miss that you've had. All right, Texas Tech coming to Hilton. Jimmy B.
Texas Tech, 3.
8. Jeez, what's going on?
Oh, God. That's not like me. I'm generally much better than that.
Oh, boy. Oh, stop.
Man.
Well, luckily for the people, you got some picks coming up here in a little bit. And, well, they got to be better than what you just did there. Jim Brinson off to a struggling start. His picks that are 53-43-3 against the number this year, along with mine, we are deadlocked, Jimmy B, right down to the wire.
Perfect. That's the way it should be, pal. We've made people a lot of money if they've been playing along with us.
Well, a lot is a relative term, but we're over 500. What do we have, 55%?
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Most pros would sign
I'll
up for 55%. You're right. We have made a little money. I'm going to guess not many people are taking our picks and running to their bookie with them. Let's hope for their case, for them, that they're not. But we will try to do that as we take you up until 6 o'clock tonight. Also, high school basketball here this evening right after we get done with the show at 6. Right into a good doubleheader. Ankeny Centennial hosting West Des Moines Valley. I'll be on the call for that one. Really looking forward to what should be 2 excellent games up at Centennial High School. Coverage begins in that one at 6 o'clock. But right now, we got to take a break. Back with more here. It's Jimmy B and TC. And welcome back once again. It's Jimmy B and TC here, 1700 KBGG. I kick Brinson out of the studio. And welcome in our next guest. He's Mike Hammond. You can find him over on 22nd Street in West Des Moines. Tax Services Advantage, Iowa. Tax and Financial Services. Mike, good to see you.
Hey, good morning, Trent. Thanks for having me.
Well, Mike, it's that time. We'll talk a little taxes. But before that, we want to talk sports. And I know
that.
You well. So for the guys out there, all right, got to get your taxes done. You got to go somewhere. How about you go to someone locally owned and a guy that wants to sit down and talk sports, too? If you're listening right now, you love sports.
Indeed.
And I've talked with Mike now for, what, 6, 7 years, something like that. You've been working on my taxes. Used to be a little bit easier before I did this radio thing full time.
It does get a little more complicated when you have your own business. But either way, we can certainly help.
So, Iowa State fan, but you support all the in-state teams.
You
root for Iowa, the state of Iowa.
Yeah, absolutely. I root for the state of Iowa, which includes Drake. What a great season they're having as well. Love what's happening with Drake. So, Iowa State, you and I, a little slow start, but that's okay. I mean, they're good programs, good kids. They'll do fine.
So, all right, let's start with Iowa State. You're Iowa State's number one on your list.
I suppose, yeah, I suppose.
Rebuilding year. You know, the 9-game winning streak after that 0-2 start provided a little hope, maybe, just maybe, and reality's hit. And the reality is the Big 12 is so good.
They hit something called the Big 12 schedule, and that's a brutal, brutal place to be. But I really love what Prohm's doing up there. The kids are great. They're young. They're inexperienced. They're learning. I like what he has up there now. I really like what's coming in next year. And I just think they're going to be a real powerhouse next year. And I just hope the fans just hang in there. They're getting better. And I still think by the end of the season, this will be a different program than what we've seen at the beginning of the season.
I think they have that opportunity, an opportunity to take that step forward. And still talking about a young group. You know?
Oh, goodness gracious. The Big 12 Conference. I think they've had a little success. A Big 12 conference tournament, I guess. They had a little success in that conference tournament. I think they might make some noise up there. They could cause some real problems for the Big 12 elite.
Let's say they finish in ninth place this year. They finish, so they play in the 8-9 game to kick things off, win that one. Whoever the number one seed turns out to be. Now, it'll more likely be Kansas.
That's right.
Because it's Kansas.
That's right.
And, of course, we're trying to throw dirt on them, and then look how dumb we look again. I kept saying that. Kansas looked bad at the beginning of the year. They didn't look like Kansas.
That's right.
And there was a lot of people who've been talking about this. Do you take the field? You're putting a bet down. You can either have the other 9 teams or Kansas.
To, right. Yep.
And I have to stay with Kansas, even though my eyes are seeing a team that's struggling because 13 it? Going on 14 now.
They say 14 years in a row. How can you argue with that? But, you know, and Iowa State and some other teams have shown some resilience against Kansas.
Yes, yes.
Maybe Kansas is not the powerhouse they've been for the last 14 years. You got to go with them as a favorites. But at the same time, who knows? Crazy things can happen.
But whoever that one seed is, you don't want to see in the quarterfinals Iowa State with all the fans that'll make the drive down. It's a crazy environment down there every single year. And it's almost like everybody, all right, every Cyclone fan, all right, schedule comes out. When's the Big 20? All right, we are taking a vacation this weekend.
Book the hotel, yes. Get the ticket spot, yes. We're heading down south. And the problem that for the number one seed up there is Iowa State will continue to improve. And so like the first half the Big 12 season, yeah, maybe there's going to be some struggles. But if they continue to improve, with the exception of the other night, if they continue to improve, boy, what a nightmare that is for Kansas. Because quite honestly, we remember that game, Iowa State, Kansas. It wasn't a blowout.
No. It was a game to the last 4 minutes.
Iowa State gave them everything they wanted.
Yeah.
And Bill Self scratched his head and said, okay, guys, what's up with this? And so, again, I just think that's an awful lot of fun. The Big 12, the Big 12 conference, they're obviously not going to win that. Mm-hmm. Probably not win the Big 12 tournament. Boy, they sure can make a run for that thing.
So you don't want to see if you're in that quarterfinal spot. Oh, here comes Iowa State.
You don't want 16,000 yeah, Iowa State fans right. Screaming and yelling like it was a Hilton.
Yeah, exactly. So the young guys, Wigginton we knew was going to be good. And though it's been inconsistent at times, it's up and down. He's really good. But Cameron Lard, this guy, a year ago at this time, he finally shows up on campus for second semester. And we'd heard the semester before, oh, he'll be here. And yep. He never did.
Right.
But then he redshirted at last year since he's only eligible for the second semester. I didn't know. I saw him play this summer, and I didn't know.
He is so raw. He's just so raw.
You see why they waited this kid out and why it was so important to get him in, because he's got talent.
Freddie Hoiberg talked about a rim protector, and he is everything but that. Mm-hmm. He's gotten off a little bit more offensive skills than the others before him, mm-hmm. but I love the way he plays. And you talk about a kid that just starting to figure this whole thing out.
Yes.
And he's the key. I mean, Wigginton's a player and such, but this Lard is the key. And some of the other kids as well, they'll continue to play into that role.
Yeah, Wyler Babb, he's got another year of eligibility. I personally am still – I'm a believer in Terrence Lewis. I personally believe Prohm maybe should start giving him more minutes.
Time. Yeah.
He's a guy that can help them. They don't have a ton of shooters right now.
Yeah.
You know, Donovan Jackson will be graduated after next year. Right. So he's a guy I think that can help them in that realm. And then you bring in Michael Jacobson, who I know you know.
Oh, yeah, for Waukee, you bet. He's a real talent.
He is very, very good. So you got him coming back. He'll have 2 years of eligibility. Mariel Shayok for a year. Who can fill it up in a big way.
Shayok's the story, yeah. And they talk about him at practice. He just dominates that practice. Mm-hmm. So a lot to look forward to there. And then these three freshmen.
Yeah. Top 20 recruiting class.
Oh, goodness gracious.
In.
Yeah. So
Iowa State basketball will not be down for long.
No. And I think the Iowa State fans recognize that. They're going to bear with this team and enjoy watching them play. They're going to get an upset or two. You know they are. They're going to be somebody they're not supposed to. And people are going to scratch their heads and say, well, where'd that come from? Well, we saw it.
Yes, we saw it. Talking right now with our buddy Mike Hammond, Advantage Financial. And Mike, let's jump over to one other, the Iowa Hawkeyes.
Sure.
You watch most of the games as well.
Indeed.
And this has been a more frustrating year, I think, from a Hawkeye perspective, just because the expectations for Iowa State were not an NCAA tournament, maybe NIT.
Right.
But for Iowa, most everybody around here had them at the very least as a bubble-type team.
Great kids, lots of talent, mm-hmm. Good coaching staff. We're all scratching our heads trying to figure out what happened to the Hawkeye team. And I know there's a lot of frustration. Maybe they'll continue to improve as well. I hope that they do. They need to find some guard play. And they had the kid that transferred and then the coach's son, who's Connor's not able to play. So that certainly hurt them. But, my gosh, you would expect a lot more out of Iowa. And I share the frustration with the Iowa fans who just aren't figuring this thing out. I hope they get better, mm-hmm. but right now they look like they're getting worse.
Very young. One thing that I came to conclusion to is look at the recruiting misses that they've had that are upperclassmen. You know, you go to the class that should be juniors right now. Really, there's nobody left. Ahmad Wagner is the only guy that's really there. But Brandon Hutton, that was going to be the defensive stopper. He's down at, I think, Northwestern State. Andrew Fleming, he was going to be the shooter. He's down, I think, at East Tennessee, something like that. Right. Those guys aren't around anymore. And your upperclassmen now, there's nobody there. Dom Ewell doesn't play anymore. And maybe that's something that we overlook coming into the year, just how young this team is.
Right. And you wish some graduate transfers. I don't think Fran necessarily plays that game or not, but mm-hmm. certainly a senior graduate transfer would have looked really nice, or maybe even two,
yeah.
if he had space. I'm not sure if he did. But, yeah, there's certainly some. And I think, obviously, the coaching staff is wondering if, you know, obviously they did something wrong.
Yeah.
And they're a little frustrated by it, so.
All right, Mike, let's talk a little bit On the other side, your professional realm, though.
That's true.
You did a good job talking hoops with me. I like that. I like that. Advantage Financial and Tax Services. You guys are over on 22nd Street in West Des Moines. For people right now, probably the time to do it. I as you know, I usually like to schedule my appointment late.
Trent's my April. April appointment.
All right. Put down the condoms for April. Yep. Okay, we got that. But for people that are a little more Johnny on the spot.
Right.
You guys are taking clients right now, correct?
We certainly are. We're getting a lot of calls and starting to schedule appointments. You know, years ago when I broke this firm or started this firm, you know, I just recognized that this is more than just a business. This is a people business. So therefore, these great big chains that offer this cookie cutter kind of tax prep just wasn't right for all people. People want to come in and actually look at somebody in the eyeball, somebody that's done their taxes for year after year, ask questions. And get answers right there on the spot. Better yet, somebody actually proposes, hey, listen, why don't we do this? Because that might help you out this year or even next year as well. So people want some interaction. They want somebody that they can talk to, get to know, and trust. That's kind of what we do. That's kind of what I do.
So, Mike, you also not just the tax side of things, but the financial planning.
Yeah.
And that's such a big part.
It's so funny.
The future.
Yeah, people talk about taxes as a one-stop, you know, as one part of their financial services life. But in reality, tax and financial planning and retirement planning and even college funding, that all kind of rolls into one ballywick. And so years ago, when I broke away on my own, I simply said this: if it'd be nice to have your tax guy in the same room as your financial planner. And all of a sudden, it occurred to me: I guess I can be both. I'm a certified financial planner, which is a big deal in the investment world. I'm an enrolled agent, which is a license with the IRS. I combine those two skill sets together, bookends, if you will, and I can sit and visit with clients about all kinds of different needs, not just taxes.
Advantage Financial and Tax Services, that's the name, 22nd Street in West Des Moines. And you can also find Mike online, advantageiowa.com. Mike, good talking with you.
Thanks, Trent. Appreciate having it.
Quick break. Jimmy B joins the fray on the other side. We're back with our picks as we take you up until 6 o'clock tonight. Then it's Ankeny Centennial hosting West Des Moines Valley in a girls-boys basketball doubleheader, all here on 1700. Stick and stay right there.
Welcome back, everybody. Final segment as we wrap everything up right now here on a very nice Friday. It's like summer outside, although it will change here by the weekend. Let's get to our pick segment here, Trent. Look, we're doing amazingly well. Both of us are tied, so maybe this will be the weekend that maybe separates us at least a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a real opportunity here, Jimmy B, that we see a little separation in our picks. We're deadlocked 53-43-3 against the number, a 5.52 win percentage on the year. That's making money. Fritz, what are you going to do with all this newfound cash you got laying around now?
I'm going to go to the Condon Casino.
Oh, it's a good place.
And yeah, good spot. The burgers there, by the way, are real good.
Uh-huh,
so
uh-huh.
I can eat lunch while I lay down a couple of shekels.
Okay, all right. We will definitely have you hooked up there. And we'll make sure to charge you extra when Brinson comes to the Condon Casino. All right, here we go. It starts 2 o'clock will be the kickoff with the AFC Championship game. It is Jacksonville. It is New England. The continued speculation, what's happening with Tom Brady's hand.
Mm-hmm.
I have not been a big believer in this story, but at least out in Vegas, we talked with Chris Andrews earlier today. It has moved the point spread. It was at 9, 9.5, got in some spots as high as 10, but it continues to trickle down right now. I see it at 7.5, Jimmy B. Where are you going? Injured Tom Brady, or maybe not injured Tom Brady, against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
The dude is always on the injury list. Think about it, Trent. Something's always wrong with him when we get into the playoffs, and yet he comes out and he plays lights out. I'm not so sure by the time that Sunday gets here that hand is going to be that big a factor for Brady. So 7.5 to me is not that big a deal. However, Jacksonville scares me.
Mm.
That defense is good. My biggest factor is Blake Bortles at quarterback. And are we going to get Blake Bortles, who beat the Steelers and was able to take advantage of the Steelers' mistakes, Or do we get the Blake Bortles, who was barely able to win at home against the Buffalo Bills team that couldn't score hardly on anybody, and they put up 10 points? So I cannot go against Tom Brady. He always seems to, like, come back from the grave. It's like the Undertaker in wrestling. You know damn well he's going to sit up after he got punched in the mouth and find a way to win the match. I'm the same way right here with New England. So I am going to give the 7.5 to Jacksonville and take New England.
All right, Jimmy B. All right, I see where you're going there. I can buy it. So this is what I've come back to. And especially as it pertains to the point spread, New England is a better team. Jacksonville played incredibly well, got a few bounces early on. Things went their way. The onslaught was on. They match up well for whatever reason with Pittsburgh. They played incredibly well in both of those games. I just can't buy it. I can't buy it. I can't buy into Blake Bortles going into Foxborough in an AFC championship game and playing at a high level. I can't. I can't do it. The Tom Brady thing, here's an interesting note. I read this earlier today on Twitter. If Tom Brady is in fact declared out, the director at sportsbook.com said that they would drop the point spread from where it's currently at 7.5. They would drop it down to New England -2. So if Brian Hoyer is a starter, they would drop it all the way down to that number, which was absolutely just incredible, Jimmy B. That one left me dumbfounded. They're saying on a neutral field that Jacksonville would be favored over New England. It made me pause. I don't think this New England injury with Brady, I mean, showing up to the press conference wearing gloves. Come on. There's some theater involved here. It's something to maybe add a little bit of juice. It seems too easy. It seems too easy. Told you before I was excited about betting against Blake Bortles. Well, I got the win in game one against Buffalo, the cover going against him. It didn't work out that way last week. I'm going against Blake Bortles again. Give me the New England Patriots. I will lay the 7.5. All right, let's go over Jimmy B, NFC Championship game.
The Vikings playing at Philadelphia. Look, I get it. In our neck of the woods, the Vikings are king right now, and rightfully so. But they are going in, and it is -3. Minnesota giving up 3 points on the road against the Eagles in Philly. Look, I thought Atlanta was going to beat Philadelphia. And Matt Ryan is a much better quarterback than Case Keenum. And I just felt that Atlanta would put at least 21 points on the board. Trent, they couldn't do it. Not against that Philadelphia defense. And I think maybe that's what's being overlooked here, is that the Eagles' defense is as good or almost as good as what Minnesota's defense is. I know it's the battle of former teammates and backup quarterbacks, Nick Foles and Case Keenum. And I know everybody's excited about having the opportunity to have the Vikings play the Super Bowl on their home field in Minneapolis. But for some reason, I think Philadelphia is better than what people give them credit for. And I am going to take the Eagles, and I'm going to grab those 3 points as well as the home dog in front of a wild and frenzied crowd, and we will see what happens then in the NFC Championship game.
All right, Jimmy B. Well, I'm on the other side. I'm taking the Vikings in this spot. I'm going to lay the field goal. I was on Philly last week. I thought the hype had gone too far in Atlanta. It was a team that had struggled throughout the year. This Minnesota outfit's just a lot better. And I think them going on the road after the miraculous victory that they had a week ago, I think that is key for them. Getting them away, getting away from all the hoopla, everything that's going on in Minneapolis right now, all the talk of them hosting the Super Bowl, just getting away from it. Going out and a business trip is the best thing for this team. I think they're the better team, road, neutral, or home. It doesn't matter. They're just better than Philadelphia. Give me the Vikings with confidence. I think they win this thing double digits. I think it's almost a coast into the Super Bowl. Certainly something that we've rarely seen before out of this organization. Vikings get it done 27-17 with the win and the cover. With that, Jimmy B, we're done. We are out of here. What do you got, big plans for the weekend?
Heck yeah. You know me, man. Weather's going to be somewhat decent. I'm going to try to capitalize on that. And I got a lot of college basketball to watch tomorrow. And then, of course, the NFL playoff games on Sunday. So I am ready for the weekend, kid.
Ready and raring to go. That is Jimmy B. We'll be back with you on Monday. Have a good weekend, everybody out there. We got high school basketball coming your way next here on 1700 as West Des Moines Valley makes their way north to Ankeny Centennial and faces the Jaguars. It's a girls-boys doubleheader. 6:15 on the girls' side, 7:45 with the boys, and we have you covered here on your home for high school sports, 1700 KBGG. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the NFL playoffs and all the college hoops. And we'll talk to you Monday starting at noon with the Ken Miller Show with myself, Trent Condon, and Jimmy B and TC from 4 until 6 o'clock. All here, real sports talk for real sports fans, 1700.